Welcome back to In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. Brady Bowman with you. Now the top shelf In Focus show of Wednesday just got more top shelf ear. Got Dr. Daniel Thompson, director of Beef Cattle Institute at Kansas State University's College of Vet Med. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Brady.
How are things? How you been?
Things are great, man. We get that rain. Yeah, it's
needed.
Things are popping, and we need some grass. We need some ponds filled up, and everybody's kind of feeling good about it. I guess we're getting another round today.
And we're still a little behind on rain, right? We're still...
Yeah, when you get that much rain, I had 3 inches in the rain gauge at the house and no mud puddles in the yard. That's a sign we needed it.
Oh, right, because you live a little north of town near Riley, right?
Yeah, I live in Riley.
It was exciting last night.
It was exhilarating.
Did you see any hail or anything like that?
Yeah, just a little bit. We didn't get any of the stuff that was damaging, but definitely lots of rain and very, very thankful to get it.
Some pretty crazy winds. I was looking at the weather last night, and you guys are kind of right in the bullseye there.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that you don't mind being in the bullseye when as much rain as we need. And I used to live in Lubbock, Texas, and we get 17 inches of rain a year. Yeah, and it'd come in two rains. So we're kind of used to having that kind of torrent rain and then being shut off for a while. So maybe now that'll kind of kickstart the weather patterns and we'll start to see a little more consistent rain and some good rains coming our way.
For sure. And speed up, greening up everything around here. Because I still feel like we're behind. Like the trees aren't fully leaved out quite yet.
You can start to see it though just today from a response from last night. I mean, just driving around the country today.
Well, one of the things we want to talk about today, Dan, is sustainability. It's something that we hear, it's a term thrown out a lot if you're around the K-State area and following K-State agriculture, especially on the Beef Institute, and crops overall. You always hear about the word sustainability and food sustainability, but as far as what that really means,
yeah,
that's another thing.
Yeah, we get into this throwing terminology around, and everybody, you know, immediately people think of sustainability as environmental stewardship, and they go to this thing, but you got to go to the dictionary and take a look at what does sustainability mean. And that means to sustain something or keep something going or keep it at its constant level. And one of the problems we have in agriculture or people outside of agriculture talking about sustainability is you have to get kind of specific with me. If you want to, they asked me to come out and talk in Washington, D.C. at the press club about sustainability, and I said, no, I'm not a sustainability person. You need to get somebody that's an expert in that. And they said, well, just give us your kind of 15-minute take on what sustainability is. And I said, all right, you asked for it. So I went and studied on it. And what you have to first define is, what is it that you want to be sustainable? Are we talking about, because everybody just automatically leaps to mankind, right? Well, that's a pretty broad topic of sustaining mankind, you know. Do you want to sustain the globe? Do you want to sustain your country? Do you want to sustain your state?
Market, prices.
Yeah, your business. Yeah. How about your home? I mean, you have to tell me what it is, because it's hard for me to go to a place that's a third world or developing country where they have disease, pestilence, and starvation and say, don't you care about sustainability? Don't you want to sustain this? And they're like, no, Jack, I just want to eat. Okay, right. I want to live for tomorrow. And so sustainability is really a term that is a lot of times coined by the people that have it because they want to keep it. And I want us to start thinking sustainability more of helping sustain life, helping others acquire the natural resources they need to decrease disease, decrease poverty, and decrease hunger around the world.
Right, and especially for a Kansas rancher or farmer, is sustain that way to feed the world, because that's always the mission.
Absolutely. And so when we get into sustainability and we start to think about the pillars of sustainability, we start to think of animal health and well-being, and we think of environmental stewardship, and we think about keeping antibiotics working, one of the things we have to understand for Kansas farmers and ranchers as well, all these things go into the Rolodex. There's nobody that cares more about the habitat of the farm than a Kansas rancher, because no grass, no cows, right? And nobody cares more about keeping animals healthy and decreasing antibiotic use than a Kansas beef producer, because if I'm using antibiotics, it means my animals got sick, no different than my kid getting sick. And we don't want that. So
and it costs money to buy those antibiotics and use them.
Well, and now you're hitting right into where I was going. The one thing that people don't think about is that if we don't have profitability, there is no sustainability of a business. And unfortunately for us, we can't just farm and ranch as a hobby. A lot of us love it enough that we would do it if we didn't make money. And a lot of us don't. But at the end of the day, for something to be sustainable, we're talking about a business, if we don't have profitability, meaning that if the consumer wants us to change something for them, we will. But understand that if the costs go up of production, the cost of buying that product will go up as well. And that kind of leads me into this hunger, sustainability. If we increase the cost of beef production, or if we increase the cost of wheat, or if we increase the cost of pork production, and we don't increase salaries in the United States, we're going to increase poverty and increase hunger within our own country.
And when you say cost, you mean cost to the consumer or cost to the producer? I guess maybe you're talking both.
It's both, because one leads to the other, right? Money is neither created nor destroyed, and if it costs more to produce something, then someone's going to have to pay more for it. And if we don't pay more for it, guess what happens? We go out of business. So it is really the sustainability pattern and circle is something that we have to have full comprehension of. We're all for the safest, most wholesome, most nutritious food, and we have it. We have the safest food supply in the world right here in the U.S. And, we have to understand that decreasing or taking away technology, maybe from an industry, whether it's the swine industry, the dairy industry, the beef industry, the crops industry, if we take away that technology because we feel like we don't want it and it increased the cost of production, I'm not for doing that. I'm for sound science. If there's something that is being done that is not safe, not wholesome, let's not do it. I think every beef producer or every swine producer in the world would say that as well. However, if it's something that we're utilizing, let's take steroid implants as an example. Steroid implants have been around since 1954, and we've been using them in beef production in the United States since 1954. And the difference in estrogenic activity in an 8-ounce steak from a steer that was implanted with a steroid implant has 3 nanograms of estrogen. An 8-ounce steak from a steer that was not the natural beef is 2 nanograms of estrogen, okay?
Very little difference.
Yeah, 1 nanogram. A nanogram per kilogram is equivalent to a blade of grass on a football field.
Wow.
Okay? It improves the feed efficiency of cattle by 15 to 20%. If we got rid of steroid implants and raised the same amount of beef in the U.S., we would need a football field, or I'm sorry, we would need a cornfield to replace that lost efficiency of growth. We would need a cornfield the size of the state of New York to make up for that lost efficiency within the beef industry. Now, let's put it on some terms. If you ate 8 ounces of tofu, soy protein,
okay,
you would have 51 million nanograms of estrogenic activity in that 8 ounces of tofu. Okay, 8 ounces of milk would have 136 nanograms of estrogen. 8 ounces of peanuts, 8 ounces of cabbage would have 2,000 nanograms of estrogenic activity. That 8-ounce steak from an implanted steer is 3. That steak from a non-implanted steer is 2.
And when you talk about those amounts, I guess if you want to inform listeners a little bit on, are there worries of too much of that in
no.
one thing? Or?
No. Well, now, if you get into some of the soy milk and you overtrain on the soy milk, you as a male, you'll see some physiological changes.
It'll be a little different to me.
Your voice will go up a little bit, maybe.
You can't do that.
Yeah, no, we don't want to do that. But, what I'm trying to get at is that there's such a small amount of estrogen from using steroid implants. Relatively zero. Blade of grass on a football field. But has a significant impact on the cost of production of beef and the amount of natural resources needed to produce beef. And the environmental, you know, it decreases the amount of natural resources needed, and it decreases the amount of natural resources wasted.
Dave, you got some?
What about the carbon footprint when it comes to methane?
You bet. Well, when we start to think about methane and we start to think about the efficiency of beef production, these are all parts of decreasing that carbon footprint. So when we use technologies like steroid implants or when we bring cattle in off of grass into feedlots, we are significantly decreasing that carbon footprint in that environmental stewardship type model. So I think that's something to think about when we start to look at these technologies. It's easy for someone to get on TV and say, well, I don't want this, right? Or a celebrity to get on there and say, this doesn't sound good, so let's not do it. And the next thing you know, we have this social media and activists and things to that nature. That
like
have,
the anti-GMO kind of movement.
Yeah, basically. And they can have just an anti-animal agriculture. There are people that don't want us to eat animals, right? So
they haven't had a good enough burger.
That's right.
That's my argument against that. Go ahead.
Well, and I don't care about, you know, if people, what I tell people is that, you know, if you raise natural or organic beef or if you consume natural or organic beef and you can afford it, I don't have any problem with that. Matter of fact, if you're a vegetarian or vegan, if you want to eat cardboard, it's your life. Go for it. You know, knock yourself out. When I have a problem is when someone tells me that the beef that was raised conventionally or traditionally that I can afford to put on the table for my family, when they tell me that it's not as safe, not as wholesome, not as nutritious, that's when I have a problem, right? Because that's a lie.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not true. Those are the types of things that we get into on a day-to-day basis.
Let's go ahead and take our last break and get into that a little bit more.
All right.
On the other side, here on InFocus on News Radio, KMAN.